And let us turn in God's Word. Our scripture reading comes from two sections of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter, I believe we'll start with chapter 6, and we'll reread the armor of God because that is the context in which we want to look at these things. And then we will read from Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 to 24. So Ephesians chapter 6, reminding of ourselves of what is the context that we want to look at the truth. So let us hear together God's word, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then jumping backward to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And we're going to stop there, and that goes on further to speak about that. But brothers and sisters, as we look at this passage of God's Word, and we're looking specifically at verses 14 through 16, as we consider what it means to put on the belt, to be girded with the truth, we live in a culture that asks the same question that Pilate did as Jesus was being sent on the way to crucifixion. What is truth? Is there really truth? We say and understand that God speaks the truth. There are not two different truths that can be true in the same way for two different people at the same time. And yet that's what the world tells us. Well, you believe this, you believe that. The only thing that's important is believe something. God discriminates based on what we believe. If we do not believe the right thing, by the way, we don't do the right thing. But if we do not believe the right thing, God will judge. If we do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not have forgiveness of sins. We do not have eternal hope. So what is truth? What about math? 2 + 2 = 4 always, isn't it? Mathematics is just one of God's creatures. Did you know that? When Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He suspended the natural laws and it was enough to feed 5,000 people. So math does not bind God. It is not a basic truth under God. God stands above it. We talk about logic and people want God to submit to man's logics. There are fallacies, there are contradictions. God stands above logic. Certainly, He is an orderly God. He speaks very orderly and He creates this world orderly because He is an orderly God. But God stands above our logic as well. Why would the God of the universe love enough to put His Son on the cross? Love so awesome to save sinners. And so, what is truth? There are truths. And we need to have that as a certainty within our mind. The world around us says absolutely there is no absolute truth. Guess what? They're trying to make an absolute truth out of that. But God's Word speaks truth. There are many truths. In fact, Solomon, 1 Kings 4:32 and 33, spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. There's all sorts of true things to learn. We live in an awesome world. And we're called to subdue that world, meaning we are called to look at it and to use it and to understand it. Because we are studying the fingerprints of God. But at that same time, we do not place ourselves above God. God speaks truth. The final arbiter of truth is God. And when we live in a world that says, no truth, no truth, no truth, we compare what we learn in the world to what God speaks in His Word. Because we can't ask God directly on many of these things. Yet we can learn from His Word. And yes, the Bible is not a book of science, but it contains many scientific statements that we can use. And so we need to understand truth. We need to believe truth and to hold on to it and to be girded by it. What is this idea of girded? Now, the belt was central to the uniform of the Roman legions. It held everything together. It was rather wide. And it held on to their weapons for them. From it hung their sword. And so central to what we are girding, holding everything together, is truth. The truth of God. And we, as Christians, need to have that truth as central to who we are. And that's what we want to see as we look also at this passage. I want to have our context, but we also want to look, I don't believe in just preaching from thin air. And so we look at verses 14 through 16 of Ephesians 4 to help us to understand what God is saying in truth. God's people speak the truth to build one another up after the image of Christ. That's the theme that we want to see. God's people speak the truth to build one another up after the image of Christ. In verses 14, we see that we are to be no longer tossed about by winds of doctrine. Verse 15, we are to speak the truth in love, following after Christ. And verse 16, we are to have effectively working with all the parts of Christ's body, together as one body. So we are no longer tossed about by winds of doctrine. If we know the truth, we're not to be children in doctrine. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is our envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Now those are going to be true of the world all, or of the church all of the time that it's in the world, but we as Christians need to be built up in the truth so that we are not children, that we do not need milk, but that we can eat solid food, that we can take a bite out of the things going on in this world and answer it. And we need to be grounded in the truth to that end. Because the world is going to throw stuff at us that's not easy to answer. We need to be able to deal with the world based on the Word of God. Based on the truth. If we're going to be ready for battle, we need to be ready for solid, for hard food, which is what the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 5:12-14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That we, by reason of use, by using our faith, by putting it out there, not hiding it in our back pocket so nobody else knows, but by using it in a world that is against us, by standing on the truth, by testing it, yes, it's going to be intimidating. But God uses our weak, our feeble statements, our feeble objections to a world of sin, our feeble, praise the Lord, when something goes right, to His glory, to bring His gospel to a world that is broken. And we're called not to be tossed to and fro. If we don't know the truth, it's pretty easy for us to be blown around. Like a ship on the ocean waves, carried places by every gust of teaching, is the idea here. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Those who are not established in the truth are easily blown about by winds of doctrine. Well, this teaching sounds good over here. That teaching sounds good over there. But is it what God says? Is it the truth? We need to be grounded in the Word of God so that when people bring doctrines, we can say, is that what God says? That's one of the reasons we need to be reading the Bible. Because it's not just about what Grossman says up here. Because I can get it wrong. Can. I try not to. I do my best. But brothers and sisters, the Bereans had to test Paul. You've heard me say this. Well, if they have to test Paul, you better check me and anybody else against the Word of God. That we would not be tossed about and driven wherever the wind blows. Colossians 2:8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." The world will try to say, but wisdom and philosophy tells us this. The traditions, people say, tradition, you got to do it that way. Interesting theme I was hearing at church camp this year is the number of pastors recently who have been saying, "We've always done it that way," is not a good enough answer. And it's right. Show me from Scripture. Now, there are good things. There are things that we don't have a direct answer from Scripture. But we have to know, what does God require? Not, well, that's what everybody tells me is supposed to be done. We need to be firmly planted on the Word so that no matter who teaches, we can know whether what is being said agrees with the Scripture. And when we know what is the truth, it's difficult to fool us. When we don't know what the truth is, it's easy. I don't know. Let's go this way. Sounds good. And then we go according to what feels good instead of what is biblical. We need to know the truth so that we may be able to answer the lies of the wicked one. Those principalities, those powers. We need to be ready to answer those. That's all he's got is lies, shame, those sorts of things. So we as Christians need to be grounded in the truth. And we need to have a variety of truth available to us so that we can answer different lies. Like Solomon, we should have knowledge in many different areas. Now, this was an interesting one. At camp, I asked the young people I was with the grade school kids for my lecture. And this was, by the way, my lecture. And I asked them if they knew what the belt Batman had on it. Most of them didn't even know who Batman was. But anyway, shows that I'm even getting old. That's scary. But anyway, he's got all his equipment on there, right? Well, that's the same idea, by the way. I was a little tenuous at camp because I hadn't seen this as clearly. But as I studied it even more in preparation for the sermon, that's what they have. All this is connected to this belt, to the truth. And we need more than just one truth. There are people who spend all their time in the Bible, and that's helpful. But we need to have different truths available to us, like different tools to answer the world. Because the world is going to lie at us from different directions. The devil is going to lie to us from different directions. Well, I can't get you there, but here, we can come from a different direction, and they will do that. Another aspect of being girded with the truth is that kept everything together so they didn't trip over their equipment and trip with their clothing. Their tunic went down very far. We can so easily be tripped up by the lies that are around us if we are not knowledgeable of the truth. We need to know God's Word. We need to read it. And if we have questions, we need to ask. We also need the catechism, because the catechism is the skeleton on which we can then place the different aspects of what we read in the Bible. Because that's what that is. A catechism class is an elementary education in what it means to be a Christian. And we need to be not affected by the deceitful plotting of the world around us, by the craftiness of men. Men are crafty in telling lies. All you have to do is listen to one of these telemarketers when they call you. And they're always trying. And you know, there's so many other ways. The world around us is trying to fool us, to bring us off in their direction. We need to be so grounded in the truth that we are not vulnerable to these lies. And notice that even half-lies are, in fact, lies. In fact, believing the half-lie of Satan got us into this mess. Because Satan twisted the words of God. And notice, when Satan twisted the words of God, Eve already twisted them more. Just reading there from Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" But the woman said to the serpent, "We may not eat of the fruit of the trees. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Notice she had already added, nor shall you touch it. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so Satan twists God's words, and Eve jumps right on in. And that's what's so easy for us to do. When we're tempted, we jump in. Our flesh joins in and says, oh, wouldn't that be fun? No, it's sin. It's death. And notice that this is the deceitful plotting of the world, the scheming of deception. People are good at scheming. They love deceiving us. Many people are held in chains, in the chains of sin, because of the deception of those around them. We are so good at self-deception. That's what the world is. Self-deceiving. Because they don't want to deal with the truth. They don't want to deal with the facts. The gospel is out there. The news of our sin is out there. But people don't want to believe that because then they're responsible to God. And all the way along, these things are out there. And yet people would rather believe the lie than believe the truth. And it requires more faith to believe these things like evolution and all this other baloney that the world is passing out than it does to believe that there is a God who created it and that God stands at the end as judge. Like Satan, people prefer to keep others in the misery of sin with them rather than allowing them to go to the Savior. And what is our response? Girding our waists with truth. Knowledge of the truth and the ability to use it doesn't happen automatically. We need to work with it. We need to use it, to prepare with it. By reason of use, the writer of the Hebrews said. We need to study the truth. We need to memorize it. Otherwise, it's not on our belt. It's somewhere out there. We as Christians need to have that as part of us. And we as Christians then need to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth to one another, and we need to speak the truth to the world in love. To call them out of sin, to call them from hell. As Christians, we do not speak or live in lies. Lies are the home territory of Satan. Reading from John 8:44, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. But notice what he says. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan, when he speaks lies because he is the father of lies. And he is the one then to cause and direct lie. And so when we lie, we are not accepting and using the ground that God has given us. We are using the ground that Satan has. Down to the littlest white lie, we are taking the resources from Satan. We speak the truth in love. Lying is hate. It is always hate. Another aspect of being girded with the truth. When people are believing lies, we want to correct them. When we know the truth, and somebody is believing a lie, you don't want them to believe that, do you? And we as Christians need to be ready with the truth so that when people are believing lies, we can answer it. We speak the truth. When we love people by telling them the danger of the sin that they are in unbelief. We love people by calling them out of darkness. We love people by calling them to repentance within our own church family. We've been talking about repentance and forgiveness in Sunday school. And we so often shove things under the rug until the rug looks like Mount Everest. And we as Christians need to deal with sin, not to shove more sin under the rug. And we in all things grow up following Christ. When we are grounded in the truth, we grow up as the body of Christ. We grow up as the church of Christ. When we are not blown around by every wind of doctrine, when we are ready for the deceitful plotting of the world, we as the body of Christ work together well. We are to grow as the body of Christ. We glorify Christ in what we do. We follow His example, not seeking our own kingdom, but glorifying Him who is far more important than any of us ever will be. Remember what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, by which we renounce our own kingdoms. We as human beings want our own kingdom. We want our own rights, which we don't have, by the way. And we need to seek after the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the truth. John 14:6. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. By the way, if we study every one of these armor pieces that God gives us, they all can be traced back to Christ. Excuse me. And so we follow after Christ as the body of Christ. And that's what we see in verse 16, effectively working with all the parts of Christ's body. We are a whole body of Christ, united by truth, by faith. We are parts of something greater, more important than any one of us. And each part of the body works, doing its part for the whole body, for the service of our head, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 30 speaks of us as members of one body, that we work together, that we don't look down on different parts because one part we get envious of because they have a more important part, or another part is private and different things. No, we are the body of Christ. We do not need to look down on one another. We need to support and care for one another. And we provide our individual function. An ear is not an eye is not an ear, a hand is not a foot is not a hand, Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 12. But we are motivated by our faith, by our hope in Christ, to share what we have, to share the abilities we have for the good of the whole body. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, when you heard it from us, you welcomed it as it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. They welcomed it as the word of God, the truth. And the word of truth in the world speaks to the world something they don't want to hear. We, living as the body of Christ, speaks a truth that the world is afraid of. And the church is not about our needs only. When we live as the unity of the body of Christ, it is about each one of us ministering to one another as the body of Christ, witnessing God's grace to a world that is biting and tearing at one another because, well, that person's not perfect. Not that the person having the problem is perfect. We can take note of the weaknesses of one another and of the patriarchs and of the saints, and at the same time glorify God for the work that He did through them. Think of David, of Solomon, of Abraham, of Paul, of Joseph, of Elijah, and so many more could be mentioned. They all had their weaknesses. They all had their sins. And yet God, through them, brought forth the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we, as one body, build up the body of Christ in love. How do we build ourselves up? By going back to the truth of God's Word, causing growth. We need the truth. We need the grounding in the truth to be able to build one another up. We don't build one another up by lies. We do it in love. And as we grow in the unity of Christ's body, we love the body more and more. We love the head more and more. We build up the body out of love. And sometimes the truth that we need to hear is hard. When we're called and confronted because of our sins, that's not easy, but it's love. When the Bible tells us hard truths about sin and about judgment, that's not fun. But it directs us to the wondrous glory and grace of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so the truth may not always be fun. But the truth is what is going to help us in this battle. We need to have ourselves girded by it, pushed forward. The ability to fight the battle because we have the truth in a world that's full of lies. The truth holds everything together as Christians. As we approach the battle, we need to be grounded in it. We need to use the truth in love to build one another up. We need to use the truth in love to speak to a world that's been lied to. And we need to work together as the body of Christ. And we must be careful that we're not deceived by the world and by Satan and in all their craftiness. To that end, we must not be lazy and childlike in not doing the work of knowing that truth. If we don't have things held together by the belt of truth, we're going to be easily blown about by every wind of teaching. We'll be deceived by the craftiness of this world. And then we're not going to be anywhere near the battle. We're going to be fighting our own people. It happens so often because we're not grounded in the truth. So brothers and sisters, may we pray and may we seek to labor to be grounded, girded by the truth. Amen. Let us then bow our heads in our hearts before God's throne of grace and prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we would be grounded in Your truth. As we read, as we study Your Word, as we hear it preached week by week, Lord, that truth would sink down deep within us, that we would have it prepared so that we would not be blown about by the winds of doctrine, that we would not be like children without grounding, but rather that we would be firmly established on Your Word. We pray, Lord, that because of that truth, we would be able to go out to a world that needs the truth, that needs the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that we would, by also that truth, be guided to care for and love and build up one another. To be brothers and sisters in Christ, loving the body of Christ because we love its head, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that we would care for one another, that we would be beloved of one another. Not just a church that comes together and goes apart, but that we would be one body, knit together by the Savior, knit together by the truth of the gospel. For we know that this comes not by chance. This does not come willy-nilly, but this comes by Your fatherly hand. And so, O Lord, we pray that we would act as the body of Christ, that we would go forth into the battle in which we stand, and that by Your grace we would stand against the wiles of the devil, against the trickery of this world, and that we would stand firmly grounded, held together by the truth. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.